I'd like to wish a very Merry Christmas to everyone listening, with Christmas Eve on the calendar tomorrow night and Christmas Day to follow on Sunday. It sure does seem like it came up kind of quickly, doesn't it? At this point, I sure hope everyone got whatever gifts bought that they needed to get bought and that everything made it on time. I feel like we, well, that is my wife and I, got things started earlier this year as far as shopping, and that's mostly paying dividends, though a few items have been slow. I am not sure what your Christmas will entail this year, but because of its timing on a weekend, it will fall out just a little bit different for my family. Tomorrow evening we'll see us at church for an annual Christmas Eve service and fellowship that our church does every Christmas Eve. Christmas Day will also see us back in church because it's Sunday. Somewhere between those two happenings, early Sunday morning seems likely, my family will open gifts and field calls from our family in the lower 48. It's possible there will also be a meal attached at midday that involves a few friends and their families. My guess is some elements of what my family will experience will also be experienced by many of you listening as well. Let's take a little time today to consider some Christmas-related thoughts. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. Even though I have my own beliefs for what Christmas means to me, the fact that I have a federal job, coupled with that whole separation of church and state thing, compels me not to go down that particular road on this show. Irrespective of your own beliefs, there can be no arguing, Christmas has had a vast array of influences through the years that have come together to make it what it is today. For a lot of people, like me, Christmas is a sacred religious holiday. But it's also grown into a worldwide cultural and commercial phenomena. For over 2,000 years, people all over the globe have been observing it with traditions and practices that are both religious and secular in nature. Christians celebrate Christmas Day as the anniversary of the birth of Jesus of Nazareth. But there is also no historical doubt to the fact that its place on the calendar is tied to a Roman pagan festival called Saturnalia. Saturnalia was a day in honor of Saturn, the god of agriculture, and was celebrated in late December. When much of the ancient world came to embrace the Christian church, church leaders purposefully chose that time to celebrate Christmas in an attempt to get everybody on board with what the church was teaching. For those of us today, it really matters not what the historical beginnings entailed. December 25th is the only Christmas date we've ever known. For what it's worth, it's been a recognized federal holiday since 1870. Starting down a much more contemporary, secular path, let's consider Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. It sure seems like he's been around forever, doesn't it? Certainly he's been around for my entire life, and that's now right at a half century. Rudolph was actually a product of the mind of Robert L. May, a copywriter who wrote the poem in 1939. You'd like to think that the poem came about out of simple, noble creativity, right? Well, not quite so. Mr. May penned the poem to help lure new customers into the Montgomery Ward department store. That's right. The beloved reindeer was a marketing ploy, plain and simple. Also, Rudolph was originally supposed to be a moose, but it was decided that a reindeer was a far warmer, friendlier image. Consider that for a moment. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Moose. For those of us who live around the Bristol Bay area, we know the truth. It would not matter which animal had become Rudolph. They both taste great. Of course, in saying that, I'm mostly talking about caribou, not reindeer, right? So what's the difference between a reindeer and a caribou? While there are some physical differences, such as cow reindeer typically having larger antlers than cow caribou, or reindeer bulls normally being a bit smaller than caribou bulls, the biggest difference is really pretty basic. It's that reindeer are domesticated, and caribou are not. Taking it down yet a different path, memory lane specifically, my childhood thoughts of Christmas are largely tied to the outdoors, because I was always looking to possess stuff that would help me to hunt, fish, and trap, and from the age I was old enough to understand the process, Santa seemed like a pretty good way to go to address those perceived needs. Though not always Santa, some of my most memorable Christmas gifts went a long way towards outdoor gear cravings, to include things like an axe, a knife, traps on multiple occasions, trapping lures, a tent, a pack basket, a backpack with frame, any number of fishing tackle items, and a black powder rifle kit. I was very fortunate to have a grandpa who was really tuned into what it was I felt like I needed, and he was always more than happy to share his intuitions with other family members. At this point, I have hit that stage in life where I am perfectly happy with not receiving gifts. That's not just rhetoric, it's a fact, and one I never could have imagined being true back when I was a preteen. No, my enjoyment now comes from watching others get gifts that hopefully will bring them the same sort of joy that I felt all those decades ago with some of the stuff I found near our family Christmas tree. That's not to say I don't still enjoy getting stuff. I do. I do still spend time outdoors, and there always seems to be something I need. Actually, I've kind of hit that age where some of the things that bring a smile to my face in terms of Christmas or birthday gifts are fairly mundane, like new socks or underwear. Other items, well, I'm not going to hold my breath because some things on my continually evolving wish list for outdoor items are either pretty darn specific or have a heavy price tag or both. It is Christmas, and it's okay to talk about Christmas gifts. So, for example, had Donald Trump been elected Santa instead of president, my list might have included the following items. I always have a short list of guns that have my eye at any given time, and a few have been on my list for years. I have a particular fondness for lever-action rifles, and a few of the mainstays to that list include a Winchester Model 71, a Winchester Model 1895, a Marlin Golden Model 39A, and a Marlin SBL. The 71 is something of an all-time classic, in my opinion, and was chambered in .348 Winchester, the only rifle so chambered. It shoots a 250-grain bullet with authority and does it with class and style. The 1895 gained a lot of notoriety a century ago as Theodore Roosevelt's preferred gun. Chambered in a handful of calibers, Roosevelt's preference was the .405 caliber, and I think for the sake of nostalgia, and just because it seems so cool, mine would be too, if I ever had one. Roosevelt took this gun and this caliber to Africa on his big safari. How strongly did he favor the gun? Here's a quote from his book about that safari. "But as we stood, one of the porters behind called out Simba, and we caught a glimpse of the big lioness, galloping down beside the trees, just beyond the donga. Tarleton took his big double barrel and advised me to take mine, as the sun had just set, and it was likely to be close work. But I shook my head, for the Winchester 405 is, at least for me personally, the medicine gun for lions." The Marlin Golden 39 is a magnificent 22 rimfire in lever-action form. During an earlier period of my life, I had access to one on a handful of occasions, though the gun was not mine but someone else's. Golden 39s have been in production for over a century, and well over 2 million have been produced, which makes it all the more confounding that not one of those is mine. The last one, the SBL, gained a bit of fame recently, as that's the gun that Chris Pratt is seen packing in the movie Jurassic World. While I question its real-world efficiency on an Indominus Rex, I do think it has absolute practical application for anything in Alaska, while adding an immeasurable level of cool appeal to any hunt. For what it's worth, it was on my list well before the movie came out. Another item on that gift list that's gun-related is a laminated stock for my Marlin 336. While not as expensive as a new gun, a laminated stock is still not what I would consider cheap, though I'd be willing to believe I'll have one installed before the Christmas episode for 2017. It's not really a very good Christmas gift for this year because it is a bit expensive, and besides, I'm not even sure what colors I'd go with yet, so I can't expect someone else would know better than me. I'd love to try a pair of L.L. Bean Maine hunting shoes someday. For those that don't know what these are, they are an iconic hunting boot that's been around for well over a century, and have remained largely unchanged for most of that time. I'll admit that I don't really know how practical they would actually be for Alaska. I suspect there's a reason that I don't see a lot of my hunting friends wearing them. However, I have always been drawn to old-style items, and these boots have been on my list for a while. It's likely that someday I'll acquire a pair, use them for a hunt, say fall caribou, and decide that there are better options. But thinking that won't stop me from giving them a go. Two items you can't find in a store, but that are on my list are a moose for the freezer and a bison tag for 2018. While I was blessed with caribou a few months back, I'm still looking for my 2016 moose. The clock is ticking, but I remain confident. Certainly that would be an outstanding gift, but one I'm going to have to get for myself. And this year, I put in for a bison tag for the first time in my life, though I have always nursed a desire to hunt them. From what I understand, the odds are fairly slim, so to draw a tag in February would very much feel like a gift, though the real present will be an understanding wife if I do draw one. It won't be quite as cheap as going out to look for a moose. You can bet this, though. If either one of those two come to pass, a winter moose or a bison, it will be a lever-action rifle doing the job. At the end of the day, I meant what I said earlier. My true joy comes from watching my kids get their gifts. Shopping for them is something I very much enjoy doing, and while I do solicit their input about things that have caught their eye, I do not adhere to it strictly, but use it in conjunction with my own ideas. 2 days from now, I'll get to see if the things that my wife and I have provided bring the same smiles that once danced across my face so many years ago. Here's hoping you see the same smiles too on Sunday. To everyone listening, have a safe and enjoyable Christmas. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.